young men and boys, remember Thursday, this Thursday, September 18th at 7 p.m. is the Standing in the Gap men's meeting here at the church. We will provide a meal, and then we'll have a devotion and a time of fellowship. Sunday, September 21st, is National Back to Church Day, so encourage maybe some that have not been recently or anything or to come and fellowship and worship with us then. And if you can help restock the food pantry, there's a list of items on the poster board as you enter the sanctuary. We need to restock it. Any other announcements? Good deal. Any birthdays before we go to the Lord in prayer? Tony, you be, I wasn't going to call you out, brother, but several people are pointing at you. So, happy birthday, Tony. Harold, will you come lead us in?
Yeah, sing happy birthday to Brother Tony.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you. And many more, Brother Tom.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we do just come today, Lord, just praising your holy name, Lord. And Lord, I just pray that during this service this morning, Lord, I know that you are present, Lord. The Holy Spirit is present. I just pray for the Holy Spirit to move this morning, Lord, in whatever way you feel it needs to. He needs to move, Lord. And Lord, we just want to lift up this service to you this morning, Lord. We thank you for the past hour of our Sunday school. We thank you for our lesson and the teachers and the ones that were present during our Sunday school, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, that we realize, Lord, as we studied this morning in our Sunday school, Lord, let us be careful, Lord. Let us not be complainers, Lord. Let us lift you up, Lord, in the things that we say and the things that we do, Lord. And Lord, I just pray that we'll continue to do that through our state missions offering and through our participation in the ESL, Lord. Let us just show people that we love them. Lord, I do just want to lift Brother Tim up to you this morning, Lord, as he stands before us and proclaims your word today, Lord, as we always do, Lord. I just pray, Lord, that we are attentive, Lord, that we listen, Lord, but we just not only listen and all, Lord, but that we actually be doers of the word. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Amen.
Well, if you can, please stand as we sing hymn 472, Satisfied with Jesus.
He has died to save me.
three verses.
Thank you. service, Lord. We just thank you for the past Sunday school hour. We thank you for the music and song and praising our Lord. Lord, we just thank you for this opportunity. We pray, Lord, that you'll be with the pastor, we'll be with Brother Tim as he brings the message. Give him strength, courage, and boldness to proclaim your word. And Lord, we pray that we'll be receptive. Lord, we ask that you would bless the givers. We pray that this money will be used to glorify and further your kingdom. We pray this in the name of Christ. Amen.
Something happened on Wednesday. And anyhow, Friday I was done doing my sermons and all, and I woke up yesterday morning with just an overwhelming sense of what I needed to preach on today. And not that that wasn't true, but God gave me a different direction for this morning. And what happened on Wednesday was that a man was shot dead. You've heard of it, I'm sure, Charlie Kirk. I don't want to focus on Charlie Kirk so much as a person, but what he stood for. And my intent is to challenge each one of us this morning to be what God wants us to be. If we are saved, he has given us a commandment to be witnesses for him. And so as we go through, I might get a little bit emotional about this because I truly believe a man of God was shot dead in front of thousands of people. If that can happen in a public square, it can happen in a church. I'm not necessarily afraid to lose my life. I'm not ready to go right now, but if that was to be the case, it would be the case. But the problem is that once violence begins, where does it end? And so I want to challenge us this morning in our faith. I want to challenge us in our witness. And those are perfect songs this morning that we sang. Let others see Jesus in me. If you don't know who Charlie Kirk is, I mean, you've probably heard of him. But let me just warn you, if you have not ever seen or know of him or who he is, I encourage you to look it up online and watch some of his videos of him in debates against other people. He's always been respectful to them. You can sit down, you can ask him any question on any subject. He's respectful to the person, even if they have different opinions. But he always comes back to the Bible. He always comes back to Jesus Christ being Lord and Savior. And oftentimes he shares the gospel with people who are there. Most of his audiences are college students, university students, high school students. As you think about the influence that he has had in America over the past however many years, he's made a huge impact. I've watched him in these debates where somebody asks him a question, and he's usually just set up in one of these little quick pop-up tents, you know, when he's sitting behind a table and has his microphone. And the students will come up to the microphone and they'll ask him a question or make a statement. You know, a lot of them agree, some agree with him, a lot of them don't agree with him, you know. And so when they come up to their microphone, he'll put his microphone there. And he'll listen to every word that person says, whether he agrees with them or disagrees, and whether or not they're cussing him out or not. And he waits till they're finished, and then he'll pick up his mic and begin talking again to them by asking questions to see where they're coming from exactly. And then by questioning to get them to reason out in their own minds most of the time that their belief is wrong. And here again, that's what he did. Another observation, I didn't put this in. Charlie Kirk was not a college graduate. He was just an average guy being willing to be used by God. If Charlie Kirk can do that, why can't we? Because we often say this, well, one person can't make a difference. He did, right? He did. Has God called all of us to do that? Not necessarily, but he has called us all to be witnesses, amen? He has called us to share the gospel with others. One thing I will encourage you not to do, if you see the assassination of Charlie Kirk, don't watch it. Don't watch it. I'll just warn you ahead of time. Don't watch it. As I thought about what happened and as I heard about it Wednesday, I found myself being angry. You know, here's a man doing what God's called him to do, and yet he's being gunned down in front of thousands. I was angry, I was mad. And most of all, I was sad. He'd been married 4 years, has two small children, one 3 years old, one a year old. And so my heart went out to them. I thought about how this was a senseless act of violence. And then, as most of us, we began to process the information that we were hearing. And then I began to remember that God has a plan and a purpose for every single one of us. We don't know in God's timing how much time we have. But God has a plan and a purpose for each and every one of us. And everything that comes into our life has a plan and a purpose, the good and the bad. I was reminded, we'll get to Hebrews chapter 12 in a minute, but I was reminded of Romans 8:28 that says, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. God has a plan and a purpose through all of this. Do I know what it is? Do you know what it is? God does. Our God is, he's still on his throne. He is still in control. It did not catch God by surprise. As I thought about all the things going on and who he was, who Charlie Kirk was, he was a co-founder of Turning Point USA. He was a conservative voice in politics. He was a son. He was a husband. And he was a father. He was a friend to many and a great listener. As I said earlier, he didn't mind sitting down with others who had different views, who had different religions, who had different opinions than he did. But he was a listener. And that is what is missing so much in our America that we know today. People don't want to listen. They're always willing to talk. Amen? But very few are reasonable enough to sit down and listen. And I think that is one thing that set Charlie Kirk apart from many others. Most importantly, though, Charlie Kirk was a Christian. He believed in Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. He trusted him with all his heart, mind, and soul, and he even trusted him with his life. He was a man who would always stand up for Christian values, for the Bible, for God's Word and God's promises. He always pointed people to Jesus, and as I said earlier, he was every opportunity he was sharing who Jesus was and what Jesus had done for others through his life, his death, his burial, and his resurrection, and that if they would place their faith and trust in him and turn from their sins, that Jesus would save them too. On Wednesday, Charlie Kirk died practicing two of our great freedoms in America. He was practicing the freedom of speech, the right to speak, but most importantly, even above the right to speak, is the right of religion. He was not only speaking, having that right to speak, but he was also speaking his religion. He was speaking about what he believed and why and the reasoning behind that. He was shot for that reason. He was shot by a coward. Whether you agree with everything Charlie Kirk stood for or not, that's not what I'm talking about this morning. But when in America we feel like we have the right to silence others, we're in a sad position. Because if you can count, I said this years ago when they started trying to cancel everybody. Right, you know, the cancel culture. If you can cancel somebody else, you can be canceled, right? And that's the sad thing about this is the problem is people, they didn't like what Charlie Kirk had to say because people don't like to hear the truth, amen? And that's the society we live in. But just because they don't like to hear the truth doesn't mean we shouldn't share the truth, that we shouldn't speak the truth to others. Because the reality of it is this. Truth hurts. Amen? Truth hurts because truth tells us that our ways are wrong and God's ways are right. Charlie Kirk was killed for speaking truth. Many would say on the other side of the aisle that he was preaching and speaking hate. Now, I want to think about that for just a moment. Hate. if I tell you the truth, it doesn't mean I hate you. Okay? Let's put that into application. How many of you as children, your parents told you not to touch the stove because it was hot, and how many of you reached up there and touched it anyhow? That's practical sense, right? Did your mom and dad tell you not to touch it because they hated you? No. Did they tell you not to touch it because they wanted to take away your freedoms?
No.
They told you that not to touch it because you are going to get burned. You're going to get hurt. They didn't do it because they hated you. If you were going to go on a trip to New York City, and I just happened to walk by your car and say, hey, where are you going? I'm going to New York City. That's okay. And I see that your brake lines are leaking fluid. If I don't tell you that your brake lines are leaking, that's a sign of hate. But if I say, hey, listen, you might want to get your brakes checked because I noticed it's leaking right there, and I don't want you to get out there on the interstate and get killed because your brakes aren't working. Telling the truth is not hate. Telling the truth to somebody shows that you love them. I think about this. Paul told us to speak truth in love. Ephesians 4:15. He says, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things unto him who is head, the head, Christ. Now, here's the point I'm trying to. We are to speak truth in love. That's what Charlie Kirk did. He spoke the truth. He did it in love. He didn't do it in hate. He didn't try to build walls. He tried to make that connection that people could come talk to him. He would tell them the truth whether they wanted to hear it or not, but he did it in love. He spoke the truth in love. How many times are we guilty of not telling people the truth and hoping somebody else will tell it? Because the reality is, because of sin means to miss the mark. God expects perfection, but none of us can be perfect. And because none of us can be perfect, and we sin against God, that means the wages of sin is death. That means eternal separation from God. But God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sins. And if we ask him to forgive our sins, come into our hearts and lives, and help us to be all that he wants us to be. The Bible says we are saved, right? We repent. We ask him into our hearts and lives. He comes and lives inside of us. And because Jesus lived a perfect life, I am now in him, and his righteousness is then imputed into me. My point is simply this. If we know somebody is lost and going to hell and we don't never tell them, are we speaking truth to them? No. Are we loving them? No. Well, they might get offended. The other choice is hell. And they're going to be really offended then, right? Are we going to share truth and love to those we know, to those we don't know? As I think about it, I think about the world today tells us that if we disagree with them, if we think differently than them, then we are haters, we are bigots, and we are racist. Can I tell you that's not true? You can think differently of somebody else. You can have different perspectives, but if you're speaking truth and love and you're speaking out of a heart of intent, good intent and goodwill towards that person so that they can come to know the truth of who Jesus is and what Jesus has done for them, you're showing them the greatest love on earth. But not to share our faith is really a form of hate. To tell somebody, well, it doesn't matter, I hope somebody else shares it with you. name. We need to speak truth and love. As I thought about what was going on Wednesday and in the days that have transpired since then, I think about John chapter 10 and verse 10. It says the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. My point is simply this. Satan wants to destroy the truth. Satan doesn't want you to tell the truth. Satan wants to destroy your life. Satan wants to steal your joy. Satan wants to steal your peace. He wants to kill you. And that played out for us on Wednesday. And I know you can say, well, that happens every day somewhere in America. I get that. But it usually doesn't happen for the reason that happened Wednesday. Right? I thought about 1 Peter 5:8, where Peter tells us to be sober. That means to think right, have right thinking, to be vigilant. Vigilant, yeah. That means to be on edge, to be aware of everything, to be watchful, okay? To be on the lookout. Why? Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may what? He wants to eat you up. He wants to spit you out. He doesn't care about you. He wants to lead you astray down a path of no return, because his way leads to death and destruction. The way of life is narrow. It's a narrow gate that you enter into, but it leads to life. The reality of it is, for every single one of us, there's a payday someday. There's a payday someday. Now, we can go through life and we can do what we want to do. It's my life, my choice. You can choose the sin, but you can't choose the consequence. Okay? You can choose it, and you can have a good time while you're doing it. But sooner or later, there's going to come a payday where you're going to pay a price you don't want to pay. Let's go back to Hebrews chapter 12. Yeah, we're just going to read the first three verses this morning. And we'll pick up on what I was going to preach on this morning tonight. Listen what the writer says. He says, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him, meaning Jesus, who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. I thought about that verse, these verses we just read. And I want to try for the next few minutes just to connect them with Charlie Kirk's life. As you think about what he went through, what his purpose in life is, Charlie put Jesus Christ first and foremost in his life, in his marriage, and in his work. He kept his eyes on Jesus and the race that God had given him to run. Right? All of us, as we've been going through chapter 12 and looking at it for the last week or two, we've seen over and over again, and I've mentioned over and over again how how God gives each and every one of us a different race. Everybody that goes into the to the Olympics, I think they had the world stuff yesterday and the medals and all, where they ran against each other. Every one of them had a race, but they ran different races, right? And the same way with the Christian life. We all have different races that God has put us to run, and we are to finish the race. We are to finish it well. We're supposed to endure the race while we're there. We're supposed to encourage one another in the race while we're running it. Charlie Kirk did that. He entered the race by placing his faith and trust in Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. He entered, I talked about it last Sunday, he entered the race, but while he was in the race, he endured. He endured all the mockings, the making fun of, the jokes, and all the stuff people tried to trip him up, but he endured the race. But most importantly, on Wednesday, he finished the race. He finished his race. He finished it well. As we think about him, we think how he kept his eyes on Jesus, how he ran the race. He finished the race. Can I tell you this? His death did not catch God by surprise. It did me, and I'm sure if you saw the news or heard the news or whatever, I'm sure it caught you by surprise. Here he was in an open area, you know, thousands of people around. Who would have done it, you know? He was in a state that is very conservative, and yet this happens to him. It didn't catch God by surprise, though. And you say, well, how do you know that, Brother Tim? Acts 17:26. This is one I don't think I had on the screen. This one he says, he, meaning God, has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has predetermined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings. Here's my thought there. It didn't catch God by surprise. He knew it. The problem is we often ask, why? I know I did. I'm not joking. My first thought was, why? You know, as I said, I was angry, I was mad, I was sad. And I thank God, you know, here's a man serving you, doing what you've called him to do. And he's gunned down. Why? And while it doesn't catch God by surprise, I want us to remember this. I want us to remember what Psalm 116, verse 15 says. It says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. You say, well, you think he was that good a person where he's a saint? Can I tell you, if you're saved, you're a saint. You don't have to go through the Catholic Church to be sainted, amen? As believers, when we place our faith and trust in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we give our lives to the Lord, we become saints. We are saved by grace. It's nothing we did. It's all because of Jesus. But at the same time, God imputes the righteousness of Jesus into our hearts and lives. He takes on our sins and our shame and everything else, and he places it on himself. Charlie Kirk died knowing that this day could come. He had made all the preparations for his wife and children because he knew this day could come. But you know, the reality of it is none of us know if we have tomorrow. Right. The question is, are we doing what God called us to do now? If we were to die today, from whatever reason might happen, would we be found being faithful to the Lord? Would we be found in His will, doing His will, speaking His word to others? It's no surprise. It was no surprise to Charlie Kirk that the world hated him. Jesus said these words in John 15:18. He says, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. It was no surprise. And as I already said, the reason the world hated Jesus is because Jesus spoke the truth. And if you speak the truth, guess what people are going to do? They're going to hate you too. Because they want to believe the lies of Satan. The world wants you to believe what they tell you, to have it your way, to just do it. Don't worry about the consequences. Isn't that what Jesus or what Satan told Eve in the garden? Oh, you won't surely die. Well, not today, but she did die. Amen. There was a consequence to her sin. I thought about what Jesus told his disciples in Luke 9:24. Because some of us, I'm afraid to go knock on somebody's door and witness to them. This is what Jesus said. These aren't my words. Jesus spoke these words. It says, for whoever desires to save his life will what? But whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. What are we risking anything as believers at Wigan Baptist Church? Oh, we might give a few dollars here and there. We might spend a little time doing this and serving here and there, and that's good. But do we really have faith? Do we have the faith that, man, we can stand up and say, yeah, this is the truth? I'm not here to offend you. I'm just here to love you. I'm here to tell you the truth. Matthew 24:12. I think it's a sign of the times that we are in today. It says, because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. I'm not saying I understand why somebody shot him. What I am surprised at, though, is how somebody can rejoice at the death of somebody else. That really just struck me. But the Bible tells us right here that we are living in a time, and Jesus is talking here in Matthew 24 about the end times, and he's saying, because of lawlessness, the love of many will grow cold. Why did people laugh? Why did people cheer because he was shot here? Because the love of people has grown cold. When we don't care about the lives of others, when we don't care about the lives of unborn babies, when we don't care about our neighbors or our elderly or anybody else, that tells us that our love has grown cold. See the truth of that in the way people live today. They don't care about one another. They're only out for themselves. I don't remember who said this over the last few days, and forgive me for not taking the time to look it back up. But they made this statement, which is so true. They said this. They said, Satan doesn't even hide anymore. He does his work in broad daylight. It used to seem like the evilness was at nighttime, right? Because we always used to hear that nothing good happens after 10 o'clock at night, right? Nothing good. Got to be home. 10 o'clock. That's it. Today it's happening in broad daylight in front of crowds of people, and the world's running scared, and Satan's rejoicing. Jason, Satan's saying, listen, you know, this is just what I want. I want people fighting against one another. I want people, you know, doing evil to each other. This is, and I know I'm all over the place, y'all. It was just on my heart. I just had to share. This is what I know. I know because of the testimony of Charlie Kirk. I didn't know him personally, but I know because of his testimony this morning, his last breath on earth here was his first breath in heaven. That's what I wholeheartedly believe, because not just of what he said, but how he lived. He lived it out. People knew it. He wasn't ashamed to share his faith and his testimony with other people, telling them that was the greatest decision he had ever made. You say, well, how do you know his last breath here was his first breath in heaven? 2 Corinthians 5:8 makes this statement. It says, we are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be what? Present with the Lord. When some of you may have watched it, but when you hear that gun pop, and all of a sudden he grabs his neck, falls over, he was gone. And in that moment, he was delivered into the arms of Jesus Christ himself. He was standing in the presence of Jesus Christ, his Lord and Savior. And as I thought about that, I thought about what Matthew 25, verse 21 tells us about the faithful steward. The faithful servant was told these words. It says, and his Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. I believe Charlie Kirk heard those words on Wednesday. I believe the Lord said, Charlie, welcome home. Thank you for being faithful to me. Thank you for being a faithful servant who served me no matter the cost. I thought about this too. I thought about how him being in heaven and being a martyr. Amen. He was assassinated for his faith. He was assassinated for telling the truth. He was assassinated for sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with others. I thought about how nearly 2,000 years ago, the Apostle John, the one that wrote the book of John, wrote 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, wrote the book of Revelation. Amen? And as I thought about John, in chapter 6, I think we have that, in chapter 6, verses 9 through 10 and 11. This, I truly believe that as John 2,000 years ago was looking into the throne room of heaven, I believe he saw Charlie Kirk there. Okay? You can debate, I'm just saying it's my personal belief. That's what it says. He says, when he, meaning Jesus, opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for what? The word of God. And for the testimony, Charlie Kirk shared a testimony with everybody, which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth. Then a white robe was given to each of them, and it was said to them that they should rest a little while longer, till both the number of their fellow servants and their brethren who would be killed as they were was completed. You see, I believe Charlie Kirk was killed for his faith in Jesus Christ. And as so, he was a martyr for Christ. And I believe that John, as he was looking into heaven, saw Charlie Kirk in some sense or form some 2,000, nearly 2,000 years later. I watched several videos, and to be honest, I was almost out of myself consumed with it over the last few days. And one of the clips that I saw of him was him being interviewed by somebody, and I don't know who or where or what. But the guy asked him, and basically the question was this: when it's all over, when it's all over, when it's all said and done, what do you want to be remembered for? You know what his answer was? He didn't say my fame, my fortune, my wife, my kids, my house, my bank account. He said, I want to be remembered for my courage and my faith. My courage and my faith. And as I thought about that, I said, man, what a testimony. That you would have the courage to stand up and share your faith. Because most of us aren't going to do it. Right? Most of us aren't going to do it. Well, we might do it in our Sunday school class or, you know, maybe our best friend. But we're not going to have the courage to stand up and share our faith. We're not going to have the courage to be bold in our faith and not only live it out, but tell other people about it. You see, my hope, my wish for myself and for you is that we would all have the desire to have a testimony to be known for our courage and our faith. Wednesday night, this was before I even saw this video I just told you about. I asked a question from Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15, that there was two statements made that Paul said about the church, and that he had heard of their faith and he had heard of their love. Right? Can you truly say you love somebody without sharing your faith with them? I've used this before, but y'all know who Penn and Teller is? I think I've had that. They do, and I don't remember the name of the show. Fool Me If You Can or something. I don't know what it is. But they're magicians, y'all, illusionists, whatever you want to call it. And people come on the show and anyhow do magic tricks, if you want to call that. And they judge them on who can actually fool them to where they can't figure out what's going on. But this is the big guy. I think his name is Penn, last name is Penn, and the short guy is Teller. But he made this statement. Somebody handed him a New Testament, tried to share the gospel with him, and he's atheist. But he really took exception to the guy who was trying to share his faith, and he said, you know, he said, I thought, you know, if you truly believe something, why wouldn't you share it with somebody? If you truly believe something, why wouldn't you share it with somebody? He said, and as I thought about it, he said, how bad do you have to hate somebody not to share what you believe with them? Man, what an indictment to us. What a poke in the face. Because how many times do we say we love everybody, but we won't share the gospel? Well, we won't tell them the truth. Do we want them to go to hell? No. No matter what, we love them. As I watched other videos, I saw one where Charlie Kirk was at a Promise Keepers meeting, and that's where a bunch of men come together and hear sermons and challenges in their faith. And Charlie Kirk made this statement. He said, sometimes you have to stick your neck out as men. And I know there's more women here than men. Charlie Kirk stuck a dick out for his fame. Did he pay the ultimate price? Yes. My question is, how are we, what are we willing to do in sticking our neck out, so to speak? Are we willing to be maybe laughed at or ridiculed or made fun of or maybe even cussed at because we're trying to love somebody and tell them the truth? You say, well, what can I do, Brother Tim, as a believer? Well, 2 Chronicles 7:14, we probably all know this verse well. First thing we can do is what this verse tells us. He says, if my people, do you call yourself a Christian? Are you saved by the grace of God through the blood of Jesus? You call yourself a Christian? He says, if my people who are called by what? My name. Will do what? You see, we got a lot of prideful people in church. We got a lot of prideful people in the home. We got a lot of prideful people in America. Right? We all want it our way. We all want to do our thing. I don't want to let nobody tell me what to do. Right? We'll humble themselves and pray. When's the last time you prayed for your neighbor? When's the last time you prayed for your enemy? Didn't Jesus tell us to pray for our enemies? Sure did. Seek my face. What does it mean to seek his face? How many of us are so busy doing our own thing today? Wow. Seek God's face. We seek him in the morning, seek him in the middle of the day, we seek him in the evening time, when we wake up, when we go to bed, we seek him throughout the day. We really want to have a relationship with him. And can I tell you, if you're not in your Bible, you're not going to be seeking his face. I don't know how to say it. Seek his face. But then there's another thing that we don't like. We don't mind the part where it says humble ourselves and we can act humble, right? We don't mind, okay, God, save everybody, please. We don't mind, say, okay, God, I'm going to read one verse a day and that's it. But, man, I like doing what I do. I like this sin over here. I really, really like it, and God, I just can't turn these. You know, the other things I'm good with, but I want to hang on to my sins. I want to keep doing what I want to do. It tells us to turn from our what? Wicked ways. And it gives us a recipe here on how to heal our land. Because it says, if my people will humble themselves, pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. And I will forgive their sins. Sin has to be dealt with first. Amen? And heal their land. Say, how do I make that work? Well, I think we need to recommit ourselves. Well, first, let me back it. First off, you got to have a relationship with him. First and foremost, you got to enter the race just like Charlie Kirk did, just like I did, just like every other. But you got to trust what Jesus Christ did on the cross through his death, burial, and resurrection, that he is God's Son, and put our faith and trust in him. You got to do that first. Commit our lives to him. Some of us, maybe we need to recommit our lives to him. Maybe we need to say, Lord, I haven't been doing right, living right. I've been living for myself. I'm not putting you first. I'm not praying. I'm not seeking you. I'm not turning from my ways. And today I want to do that. We can do that. You can do that today. Can I make this statement? The only way to change the world is to share the word. The only way to change the world is to share the word. Share the gospel with other people. When you do, though, don't expect anything less than pushback. People don't like the truth. Satan hates the truth. Satan will do anything and everything to try to stop the truth from happening. But what are we going to do? What are we going to do? What are we going to be known for? I asked that question Wednesday. It's a God thing to me. What are we going to be known for? The Church of Ephesus was known for their love and their faith. And I wish we could say today, I want to be known for my faith, for my love, and for my courage to love people enough to share my faith with them. I hope that's your desire this morning as well. If you're saved, it not only should be a desire, but we must realize that it's a command. Jesus in Acts chapter 1 verse 8 says, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem." That's Wigan. I mean, if you live in Wigan, around this area, that's our city. Jerusalem and all Judea, we could say that's our county, right? And then in Samaria, that's our state, so to speak. That's the places we don't like to go, because that was true even back in Jesus' day. There were some parts of town the Jews just wouldn't go, and Samaria was one of them. But then it says another statement. It says, "And to the end of the earth." It shouldn't just be a desire. We should realize it's a command. How are we doing? How are we doing? What are we known for? Are you saved today? Do you know that today was your last day? That the Lord would welcome you into heaven. If you don't know that, you can. By placing your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. So I don't know how to do that, but we're going to give you an opportunity when the invitation is given. We start saying, you step out, say, "Brother Tim, I need to know how I can be saved. And I'll do my best to." I can't save you, amen. This church can't save you, but we can show you the one who can. Some of us might be here and say, "Tim, I'm saved, but I'm just not living right. I'm not in the right relationship. I'm just whatever it may be. And I need to confess my sins and turn back to Christ." Some of us today, maybe we just need to recommit our lives to the Lord and say, "Lord, help me be a better witness. Give me the courage to share my faith. Give me the courage to love people who may be different, think different, have a different religion than me." What if we all saw people the way Jesus saw them? What if we all loved people the way Jesus loves us? What if we all served one another with the hands of Jesus? What if we all went where Jesus went with his feet? How much different would the world be if each one of us did what Jesus told us to do? We stand with me. Heavenly Father, as we go into this time of invitation, Lord, I know it's a different kind of sermon today. Lord, so once you lay on my heart, and I just want to be faithful to you, to share and to challenge even myself this morning, Lord, to realize that there are times, Lord, that we're not very loving to other people. We're not very caring. We're not faithful to share our faith as we should. And Lord, we must realize that people are dying. Our loved ones are dying. Our friends are dying. But have we ever taken the time to share our faith with them and how they could know you as well? Lord, help us to get over our fear of what other people think, of how other people might respond to us. Lord, help us to be faithful to you. Lord, give us the strength we need, the courage, through faith. And I think that's the biggest part of it, Lord. Do we really believe what you tell us? Lord, help us to be obedient to you this morning, whether it's for salvation, whether somebody needs to come have a personal relationship with you, whether we need to recommit our lives to you, whether we need to recommit to sharing our faith. Whatever it is, Lord, I pray that we would be obedient to you. Lord, have your ways, only you can. I pray it in Jesus' name.